This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
October 8th. It's not the earliest, of course, because there's David Tepper in Carolina and he really enjoys firing coaches in the middle of the season. But October 8th is relatively early, especially when you're talking about a team with a Hall of Fame quarterback. So we're not talking about a team with a rookie. We're not talking about a team that's bottom of the basement, right? I mean, the team has dropped two pretty rough games, and it's probably adding insult to injury because they haven't scored touchdowns. It's been a lot of field goals the last 2 weeks. If you were thinking back to the New York Jets in London, that was Jets versus Vikings in London. They had the one touchdown. The week before was against the Broncos in the rain at MetLife Stadium. And if I'm not mistaken, the final was 10-9 or something along those lines. It was bad. So the fact that there's a Hall of Fame quarterback and they're not living up to the potential of what many people expected. And you know what expectations are. They're ideas. They're based on paper. They're based on a group of guys whose names and skills you know. But in terms of their corporate synergy or how they come together or how quickly they can settle in, that's never a guarantee. That's never a given. But still, you often get coaches fired when they're in either a major breakdown or a major rebuilding process, or they have young quarterbacks or they have no quarterbacks. I'd have to think hard about the last time a coach was fired in season with a Hall of Famer at quarterback. Great that he's 40 years old. And of course, the overreaction right now is he's over the hill. He's washed up. That's not true. Is he feeling the effects of coming back after a year of not playing? Sure. Is he less mobile than he's been? Absolutely. This is not the same Aaron Rodgers, nor would you expect it to be. Peyton Manning wasn't the same quarterback at 40 years old. Tom Brady wasn't the same quarterback at 45 years old. Eventually, time catches up with you. But Aaron Rodgers can still throw the ball. He can still make every throw he needs to make. He's smarter than he's ever been, probably too smart for his own good half the time. And we knew going into the season that so much rested on their results in 2024. Both Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers had indicated people could lose jobs if this season isn't one that's resulting in a playoff team or potentially a Super Bowl run, which of course is the whole idea. But the Jets owner pulls a stunner, a blindside, if you will, like they're on Survivor. Only he's been blindsided and his turn is over, at least for now. And a lot of this speculation around Robert Saleh and his relationship with Aaron Rodgers, I think, is unfair. People make stuff up. Duh. It's 2024, social media. This is what happens. Even if they didn't see eye to eye on every moment, and they, remember, they'd had, what, 5 games and 4 plays where they're actually together on the field? That's a pretty short sample size or a pretty short tenure together, because Rodgers wasn't the quarterback all of last season. I don't love this. It doesn't sound like any of the rest of the coaching staff is going to change, at least according to Jeff Ulbrich, who takes over from the defensive coordinator position. And sure, this is his opportunity to earn a head coaching gig. I understand it. It's a tough situation to find himself in. This happens a lot, where a guy gets promoted from within and he's friends, or he's maybe even beholden to the guy who got fired because that guy's the one that gave him the job. I mean, it's rough in terms of the relationship aspect, but this is Jeff's chance to earn his own shot as a head coach more quickly than he expected. It is, I think, a knee-jerk reaction to the last 2 weeks and how bad the offense has been. But it's also unorthodox. Maybe Robert Saleh wasn't the coach that was going to get this team to the Super Bowl, but if that's what you thought, why not fire him to start this season? Or, I guess, to end last season. Just a weird time to do it. But maybe a shakeup is exactly what the Jets need. Maybe it's a reminder that if you don't win, number one, look better doing it, number two, there's a lot more than a head coach who's going to lose his job. It was certainly a surprise while the construction crew was right below the bedroom window on Tuesday with all the power tools that make so much noise and seem to rattle the house. I'm so glad we're having this little bitty 10x8 room put on the back of our house. It's essentially a laundry room / mud room. It's small. I had no idea it would be such a big construction project. I was not prepared for the carnage in the backyard or how loud it would be. Anyway, I had a hard time sleeping, and I hear from the crew that it's going to continue tomorrow. Don't! So, I suppose the more exhausted I get, the loopier I get, funnier the show is, or the dumber things that I say. But I was awakened, I don't know, every 30 minutes or so, every 30 to 45 minutes for a while. And when I was having a trouble going back to sleep, at one point I picked up my phone. And of course, the one family member who's an NFL fan, who's a football fan, he had already sent me the link to let me know that it had happened. I was really surprised. Wasn't expecting it. Not that I was confident Robert Saleh would keep his job past this year, but it's just, as I say, so unorthodox and strange in the NFL that a team with a Hall of Fame quarterback who does have the potential, who has all the pieces in place. I mean, there are, now granted, predictions are just guesses, which is why I don't waste my time making them. But there were people preseason saying the Jets were the Super Bowl favorites. I don't even know how you say that in a league that still has Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. But at the very least, that they're the outright favorites in the AFC East, and that the AFC East is now the toughest division in football. Now, this is pre-Tua's injury. I hope for the Jets' sake that this lights a fire. But let's be honest. Let's be really frank and fair about it. Firing Robert Saleh doesn't solve the issues. A different voice, different leadership, that can be a positive, but it doesn't snap your fingers, make everything better all of a sudden. Nah, this is a large group of men who have to work together, who have to refuse to settle for mediocrity, who have to get angry about the way the season is going and recognize what potential opportunities they're squandering. And I think a lot of it falls on Aaron Rodgers. He's Mr. Experience. He's Mr. Future Hall of Famer. He's smarter than everyone else in the room. He'll tell you that. So this falls on him as much as it falls on anyone else. Interesting, too, that it's the defensive coordinator who takes over as the head coach instead of the offensive coordinator. Maybe that's because the offense has been so bad. You'll hear from the owner, Woody Johnson. He did a conference call with reporters after he made this decision. First time in season in 25 years of owning the Jets that he's ever pulled the plug on a head coach. And he called it his decision alone. According to multiple sources, not Johnson, but according to other sources around the Jets, Saleh was shocked, like the rest of the NFL community. And I know that a lot was made of this online and the reports of it, that he was escorted to his car by security. But to be fair, that's pretty standard at most companies. At my previous network, if you were let go or you quit, they would do the same thing. They would walk you out the door to make sure you didn't steal anything, to make sure you weren't taking company secrets, to make sure you weren't snagging stuff off the computer. Yeah, that's pretty standard. In fact, it was the second time I got fired in my radio career. It was just a little station in Rhode Island. And when they fired me, when I was blindsided, I actually went in for my year evaluation, and 2.5 minutes later, I was out of a job. They did the same thing. They walked me through the building and walked me out the door. So I don't know that that's a huge deal. I would think there's a couple reasons for it. You don't want the fired employee to go ballistic. Again, you don't want him taking things that don't belong to him. You don't want him really saying anything to other people. Now, the fact that Saleh wasn't allowed to address the team, to me, that's kind of sucky. Can he get on a group text? Can he call each one of them? Well, sure, but he's not going to. I hope they reached out to him. And I'm sure he'll talk to many of them, but it is kind of crappy that he wasn't allowed to talk to the team, if that report is accurate. So one coach down. Stunner, right? October 8th. I don't want to make light of it because Saleh is a quality guy. Players really enjoy being in his locker rooms because he sticks up for them. I mean, I've often said, and this is probably the case with every quarterback that played for him, find someone who loves you as much as Robert Saleh loves Zach Wilson until he wasn't a Jets QB anymore. And then all of a sudden it was the sun shining out of Roger's rear end, right? So Saleh was constantly sticking up for his guys, taking responsibility on himself. I would say there was a definite learning curve with him when he first got there. But think about the quarterbacks that he had. And we've talked about this with the Carolina Panthers. Talked about it even with the Indianapolis Colts. In the case of Kyle Shanahan, he was granted a little more grace because the Niners desperately wanted him as their head coach and they understood that there needed to be a little more patience. But all of these teams that go through cycles where there are no quarterbacks, oh my gosh, the Commanders, before that, the Washington football team, before that, the Redskins, Ron Rivera had how many quarterbacks when he was there? It's really tough to win in the NFL when you don't have a QB. And that's not on the coach. That's the part that I think is where the disconnect comes in. It's not on the coach to pick the quarterbacks. Now, he may be part of the brain trust that makes these decisions. He may have some input. But you remember the situation in Carolina with Frank, the most recent mid-season casualty from David Tepper. There was talk that he wanted to have CJ Stroud as their draft pick as opposed to Bryce Young. So Frank Reich, whether or not that's true, he has to go with the quarterback that they drafted, that David Tepper wanted, that the front office decided to choose. And so when Frank gets fired, now David Tepper even waited 11 games into the season to fire him. But when he gets fired, you can look at the fact that the roster was not a competitive roster. And that's not on the head coach. Unless, of course, he has GM responsibilities. But think about the coaches, or think about the quarterbacks that Saleh has had. Zach Wilson, that was a mess. Mike White, he was really popular, but he had a very short ceiling. Joe Flacco, I mean, right now he's leading the NFL in passer rating. Trevor Siemian, Tim Boyle, one game with Aaron Rodgers last season, and not even a full game, but one start. So again, with Rodgers, five games and four snaps. Is that really long enough to establish your culture and to get on the same page with your quarterback? I think not. Now, for those of you who are big fans of the Pat McAfee Show, used to be here on our network. It was like four stops ago. He typically does the Tuesday show with Aaron Rodgers. I was actually watching NFL Network, and they were talking about how Rodgers was supposed to make that appearance with McAfee, and then the breaking news, oh no, it's been pushed to Wednesday. So at this point, I don't believe that anyone's heard from Rodgers. You know what? I didn't check his Twix. I will. I bet he doesn't call it that. But let's check just to see if he posted anything. Nope. The last thing that he posted was actually a retweet of someone else in June. Let's see if there's any replies. Nope. Looks like Aaron's over Twix. That's not his method of communication anymore. So this is sometimes change that's made just for the sake of change to see if a shakeup might light a spark, light a fire, put the fear of God or the fear of Woody Johnson into the locker room. We will hear from the new interim head coach as well as the owner a little bit later on. Also really excited about our conversation for tonight's show. And I already knew about Robert Saleh getting fired when I spoke to Hall of Fame cornerback Champ Bailey. Was accommodating his schedule, so I recorded an interview with him earlier on Tuesday. He's fresh off alumni weekend in Denver where they had the cool orange throwbacks. He was there with his gold jacket and had a chance to pose with Patrick Surtain right before the game. And then Surtain goes out there and rips off a 100-yard pick six. So neat to talk to Champ about Pat and about being a Hall of Famer and about the Broncos, but also about his former franchise, his first franchise, I should say, the Washington Redskins at the time, and also the work that he's doing with kids at the Aflac Cancer Center at an Atlanta hospital. Really excited to do that. We'll have that for you next hour. And as always, on our hump show, you get the chance to ask Amy anything, sort of. So at Amy After Hours, look for the bright orange box. It's also on my account and then on our Facebook page too. And by the way, after having our Monday MVP win by 0.3%, so Kyler Murray beat out, who was it? Was it Pat Surtain that he beat out? I know Kyler ended up winning by 0.3 percentage points over the runner-up. Well, now we've got a very tight race for TD of the week. Barely 1 percentage point separating the top two candidates. So we're going to play those for you. Maybe coming out of our update at the bottom of the hour so you can hear them again and go vote. We've got an hour left in that poll. So as Touchdown Tuesday wraps up and we head into a Wednesday, yes, we're talking touchdowns. Yes, we're talking Jets. We'll get into the National League Division Series Game 3s. And with both the series tied, Game 3 is critical. It's crucial. And also, I'm keeping my eyes on the Weather Channel and watching the approach of this massive Hurricane Milton steaming toward Florida. I know they've had evacuation orders and many people have evacuated at least to get out of the path of the storm. I've got family on the west coast of Florida, a dear friend in Orlando. There's a lot of people in the path of this storm and it's expected to make landfall pretty soon. Sometime maybe when.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday into Thursday is going to be the danger zone. So please, please, please take care of yourself, your people, your pets, and we're happy to keep you company. 855-212-4227. Again, at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We'll get to the National League Division Series coming up. Padres with a huge second inning. And they take advantage of some pretty spotty Dodgers defense. Fernando Tatis is still on a tear. Now, the Dodgers were able to make this a one-run game with a grand slam immediately on the heels of the Padres scoring 6 runs in the second. They were able to come back and pull with it a run. But that was it in terms of offense. There were a couple of other guys on base. But from the third inning through the end of the game, the Dodgers only managed one more hit. So after the grand slam, one solo, lonely, little bitty hit the rest of the way against the bullpen mostly. So that pitching staff did its job. And Shohei Ohtani, 3 strikeouts in this one. I think he had a single. He was one of the runners that scored on the Teoscar Hernandez Grand Slam. But the pitching for the Padres has been terrific. And Tatis is hitting out of this world right now. So Padres lead 2-1. The Mets make it far less dramatic against the Phillies at Citi Field. Grimace, he was riding the subway on Tuesday, and fans were going nutso. So right now you've got a potential National League Championship Series between Mets and Padres if they close out. And all 4 series are heading back to the diamond on Wednesday. So it's a very busy Wednesday in baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show account at Amy After Hours, and then also our Facebook page, and we'll get to those in the third hour of the show. 855-212-4227. Dave is listening somewhere in the great nation of Canada. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call. About Aaron Rodgers, I've watched him play from when he first came out of college, and this one just has rotten apple all over it. I don't like what he's done there, and I think the coach shouldn't have had to pay for what he's doing there. Just my opinion, but you can just tell from the sidelines, and I just think it's more this is on Aaron Rodgers, and I'd love to see how he reacts now, or is he going to still do his whining and crying and still end up on the bad side of this. But I appreciate you taking my call. I just want to say hats off and my prayers are with the people of Florida as this storm comes in, and I'll listen to your answer.
I appreciate that, Dave. But before you go, is there okay, bye. See, I don't love that. People watching on TV saying you can tell by watching them on the sidelines that there's something wrong. For instance, a lot of people pointing to the Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski interaction from this past weekend in our nation's capital in D.C. and Watson walking off the field when Kevin Stefanski wanted to go for it on a 4th and short. And coach clearly frustrated when they didn't go for it. But the reason Deshaun walked off the field is because there were 12 guys in the huddle and they would have gotten a flag or had to use a timeout. The flag obviously would have made the 4th and short a moot point, but they would have had to use another timeout and they had just burned one early in that half. And so what people were reacting to, the body language between Kevin Stefanski and Deshaun Watson and saying Deshaun quit on his team, wasn't accurate at all. That's based on, you can tell from what we saw on TV. I don't think that's fair. If you know Aaron Rodgers personally, and he said something to you about the coach, about his frustration, well, that's one thing. If you have actual insight and insider intel, but to say that you can tell that it's Aaron Rodgers' fault by watching on TV is naive, in my opinion. Now, you're allowed to have your opinion, and I'm sure you're not alone. There's probably a lot of people who think this is Aaron's fault. He's admitted he's not playing his best football, but it's week 5, and he didn't play for, gosh, a year and a half. If you go back to when he was at his darkness retreat and emerged knowing that he wanted to play for the Jets, remember that whole thing? Gosh, that feels like forever ago. He's older. It takes longer to recover from injuries. And these are just the first few games with the group that he's had. I think it's pretty clear. Here's one thing that stands out to me. It's pretty clear that he has a rapport with Alan Lazard, like he has played with him before. Oh, because he has. Still getting to know Garrett Wilson. They're getting to know each other. I never think it's as simple as it's one person. And according to sources, people, reports, Rodgers didn't have anything to do with this. Rodgers didn't know either that Robert Saleh was getting fired. Again, we hope that we'll hear from him on Wednesday and he'll offer some insight. But Woody Johnson is a billionaire businessman. I'm not sure he's looking for business advice from his quarterback. No, he just wants wins. It's just odd because it's never really fit. And I have made jokes about how this is typical Jets. But it was heartbreaking to see Rodgers go down last season after four snaps. Worst case scenario for the NFL because they'd had, gosh, I think it was more than 10 of the Jets games on primetime TV. They had game planned around Aaron Rodgers and in the prime of his career, coming off a couple of MVP awards, being in a Jets uniform, and could he rescue the franchise? And so they were stuck. The Jets were stuck. They had brought in a bunch of people to play around Aaron Rodgers. But that's not Robert Saleh's fault. It's not Saleh's fault that Rodgers didn't last more than in one series in a Jets uniform. So I understand wanting to run it back, so to speak, and give another opportunity. And I know the slow start is frustrating, but gosh, it's still so early and so much of the AFC is wide open. The Bills just dropped back-to-back games. So they're only they're one game behind the Bills in the AFC standings. Again, feels knee-jerk to me, impatient to me. It's not my team. I don't write the checks. But it's not typical that a Hall of Fame quarterback, maybe a Hall of Fame basketball player, but not typical that a Hall of Fame quarterback has to change coaches midway through a season. If you remember, at the end of Mike McCarthy's tenure in Green Bay, he got fired, but it was week 12. I think it was December when he got fired. At A-Law Radio, also on our show Twix and our Facebook page, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Looking forward to hearing from you, producer Pete. Now a month in, I'm thinking he's much more comfortable.
Oh, yes. I have my whole system down with Ask Amy Anything. I'm ready for it.
Nice. All right, so straight ahead, the candidates for TD of the week. You'll have an hour left to vote, and it's very tight in the balloting right now. And then top of the hour, Champ Bailey, Hall of Fame cornerback, still holds a bunch of records for his position. After starting his career in Washington, he finished in Denver, and he was back in the Mile High City for Alumni Weekend to see Pat Surtain crush it. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. We lead off with the baseball playoffs and we'll start in San Diego.
Here's the 0-2. And Tatis sends it in the air. Deep to left field. Hernandez is back. Looking up. Gonna go! Two-run homer, Fernando Tatis Jr. And it is a six-run second inning.
Jesse Agler, the call on Padres radio. The Padres beat the Dodgers 6-5, and they take a 2-1 series lead. Now to New York, game three between the Mets and the Phillies.
Manaea will try again. Slow windup, high kick, 0-2. Got him swinging, sweeper down and in. Seven shutty for Sean Manaea. a 1-2-3 seventh inning.
Keith Rad on Mets Radio. Mets beat the Phillies 7-2, and they take a 2-1 series lead. Now to football. The Jets fired head coach Robert Saleh after a 2-3 start to the season. Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich was named the interim head coach. The Patriots will reportedly start rookie quarterback Drake May on Sunday against the Texans. Saints quarterback Derek Carr reportedly suffered an oblique injury during Monday's loss to the Chiefs, and he is expected to miss multiple weeks of action. Opening night in the NHL in their first ever game, the Utah Hockey Club beat the Blackhawks by a score of 5-2. Also, the Florida Panthers raised their Stanley Cup banner, and then they opened the season with a 6-4 win over the Bruins. Sam Bennett with a couple of goals. And the first game of the day was the Blues beating the Kraken by a score of 3-2. The Panthers and forward Carter Verhaeghe have agreed on an 8-year contract extension. Now to the WNBA semifinals. Game 5, the Lynx over the Sun, 88-77. Minnesota wins the series 3-2, and they advance to take on the New York Liberty in the WNBA finals. Game 1 is on Thursday night in New York. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon.
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown.
Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown.
Southern's belting into the end zone.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Denver Broncos.
Gain of 8. First down to goal. Raiders at the Denver 5. Minshew under center. Minshew with a play fake, rolling to his left. Now floats one too high. It's going to be intercepted at the goal line. Down the west sideline. Intercepted. This is past Sertan. Sertan's going to house call it. 25-20. 15-10. 5. Touchdown.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Second and goal. Ball just outside the Bengals 6. Justice Hill in the backfield. Lamar in the shotgun. Lamar bobbles the snap. Has to pick it up off the turf. He's being chased. Corral stiff arms a man, Sam Hubbard, and finally slings in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Isaiah Likely. Oh, my. Unbelievable. That. Lamar Jackson bobbled the snap, picked it up off the turf, stiff arm Sam Hubbard, a la Derrick Henry, extended the play, threw back across his body, and hit the tight end. In other words, he did everything wrong for the perfect outcome.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Four-man front for the Colts. Trevor drops and looks. Fires deep downfield. Got a man. That's Brian Thomas Jr. 50 in the Colts territory. 35, 30, 25, 10, 5. Touchdown. Brian Thomas Jr. just went 85 yards. How good is that? And the Jags have taken the lead.
The Dallas Cowboys.
For the ball game, fourth and goal. Prescott in the gun, snap is back. He has some time. He throws it in the end zone. It's a touchdown to Jalen Tolbert on the left side of the end zone, crossing in front of Deshaun Elliott with 20 seconds to play. Goodness gracious me.
Goodness gracious me. Brad Sham with the call of what was the game-winning score on Sunday Night Football for the Cowboys. Whew, snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. But Dak to Jalen Tolbert with 20 seconds to go in Pittsburgh. On the Cowboys Radio Network, also with Frank Frangie on Jaguars Radio, Brian Thomas, an 85-yard touchdown from Trevor Lawrence on Trevor's 25th birthday. Could that be the catalyst that spurs the Jags back to life after being on life support the last 5 weeks or 4 weeks, first month of the season? Before that, Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio Lamar Jackson, he drops the ball. He's running around in the backfield. When is he not? He stiff arms a defender and then fires a ball into the back of the end zone. The last touchdown among a myriad of touchdowns between the Bengals and the Ravens. And it turned out to be one that put them in position to head into overtime. And then Pat Surtain, 100-yard pick six off Gardner Minshew in that Broncos-Raiders rivalry in Denver. Dave Logan with the call on Broncos radio. And right now, I'm not kidding, based on just a few more votes that we've had since I talked about it 20 minutes ago, now it's 0.3% the margin separating our top two candidates. And I'm not going to tell you which ones they are. We're asking you to go to our show Twix. In fact, the poll is pinned to the top of the account at Amy After Hours, or if you just find my profile page at A Law Radio on our Facebook page too, you can easily find it and vote. And it's as tight as Monday MVP. Oh my gosh, I love it. I love how spirited these competitions, and I do love the polls. We had a poll for you going into the division series in Major League Baseball. Which series of the four was can't miss? And the winner, Padres and Dodgers. Two teams that, of course, know each other very well. So do the Phillies and Mets. So do the teams in the AL Central, the Guardians and the Tigers. But you all pick Dodgers and Padres. And San Diego has the experience of having eliminated the Dodgers just 2 years ago in the postseason. It was a series that went the distance. But now here they are. And the Dodgers are on the brink of an early winter. Not that it ever gets wintry in Southern California. But the big inning, if you will. The Padres plating six runs on five hits and an error, as well as some other poor decision-making by the Dodgers fielders. That was the San Diego second. Fittingly capped by the hottest bat in sports right now.
Here's the 0-2. And Tatis sends it in the air. Deep to left field. Hernandez is back. Looking up. Gonna go! Two-run homer, Fernando Tatis Jr., and it is a six-run second inning.
A six-run second inning. That was how the Padres got their crowd whipped into a frenzy in San Diego at Petco Park. If you've not seen the videos, the yellow towels, oh my gosh, they're like the Pittsburgh Terrible Towels, only maybe a little bit nuttier. It was loud. It was raucous. And a six-run second inning ensured that those fans were not going to sit down. Now, in the next half frame, a little bit of trouble for Michael King, who, if you remember, started the wild card round and pitched brilliantly for the Padres last week. He puts a couple guys on base via walk, including Shohei Ohtani, to bring up Teoscar Hernandez.
Another 1-2. Hernandez hits a high fly ball, center field. Merrill going back. He's on the warning track at the wall. Gone! And grand! Teoscar Hernandez barking down the first baseline. A grand slam, and the Dodgers are right back in it.
The call on Dodgers radio. And so it was close. It was tight. From that point on, though, the Dodgers had almost no oxygen in their offense. After the grand slam, four innings. The next four innings were three up, three down for Padres pitching. No one gets on base. The next hit is Freddie Freeman. Good to see him playing. The next hit is Freddie Freeman in the eighth, but he gets stranded. And Robert Suarez slams the door for a four-out save. So the San Diego bullpen throws four scoreless innings. And now the Padres are one win away from the National League Championship Series. Tatis right now in five playoff games, 10 for 18, four home runs, no strikeouts. And he says the team is playing with wild abandon.
Definitely no fear, but that's something that you build through the years, you know, getting experience playing against those guys. And yeah, definitely no fear. I mean, we're showing up to play the best basketball we can, especially knowing the type of group that we're facing. So, man, we're just showing up and playing ball.
What a bit of sweet redemption for Fernando Tatis, considering he missed their 22 run when he had the wrist issues and, of course, the suspension because of banned substances. The last time he was in the playoffs was 2020, and there were cardboard cutouts in the stands, remember? So, yeah, the Dodgers are down to their last leg. Now, Walker Buehler settled down after that bad inning in which the defense did not help him. Dodgers could have been out of that inning before they gave up the big blast by Tatis, but they failed to do so. We'll see what Game 4 has in store. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.